privilege for me to introduce Brother Perry. I consider Brother Perry my big brother in the truth. 7 years ago, last month, after a couple hours on the phone with Brother Perry across the, from California to St. Louis, I made my consecration and was immersed at our convention here 7 years ago. So it's my very great privilege to introduce Brother Perry, and the title of his discourse will be My Pledge. Brother Perry.
Thank you, Brother Larry, and Brother Ed, and Brother Lou. Sister Kathy and I and Sister Lana Jean Hahn and Sister Leona West extend our love and greetings again. As Brother Larry has said, our title is My Pledge, and we knew we had a newly consecrated Sister Carol Howard, and when we got a call from Brother Robbie a couple of weeks ago, we were asked to participate in her special day, and we were honored and privileged and very happy to do so. And as each of us should esteem it a privilege to participate with Sister Carol in her special day. In Arlington National Cemetery, under one of the thousands of white crosses and stars of David, lies a young man named Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division, which, as you may know, was where they took some of the National Guard from each of the United States and put them together in a group and sent them over to in World War I. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. And we are told that on his body was found a diary, and on the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully, and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. Our Heavenly Father and His only begotten Son must and will win this war of righteousness versus unrighteousness. And we have an opportunity laid out before us all, an opportunity of work, an opportunity of saving or being a good steward of the Lord's the things the Lord has given to us to for stewardship, an opportunity of sacrificing the earthly reward that is the highway of holiness for an opportunity in the narrow way to run for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, an opportunity to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ, an opportunity to fight the good fight of faith cheerfully, an opportunity to do our utmost, knowing that our Heavenly Father is supervising our every affair, and He will permit or overrule circumstances in our lives to our highest spiritual welfare. Yet we have an opportunity to do our utmost as if the whole struggle, the issue of the whole struggle, depended on us alone, that struggle of righteousness versus unrighteousness. And so it should be. We should fight the good fight as if the outcome depended on us alone, yet knowing that all things are supervised, permitted, sometimes overruled of our Heavenly Father by His Heavenly Son. We should have the resolve of this youth, Martin Treptow, to serve our Heavenly Captain diligently, daily, in the here and now, and not put things off into the future. Yes, young Martin Treptow lived in the here and now. Yet we're not suggesting that we should fight earthly fights with carnal weapons. We are simply noting the goal-oriented resolve of this young man of history. And how can we do this? How can we have goal-oriented resolve? Well, just writing a goal on paper vastly increases the probability of achieving their goal. Have you written your pledge on a piece of paper in your own hand? Do you carry it with you at all times as something most sacred? May I suggest my pledge? My goal is Christ and Christ alone. My goal is to make my calling and election sure and help my brethren do the same. My priorities are the Lord, the truth, and the brethren in that order. I live each day as if it were my last, and many, many, many more. Our Heavenly Father has special divine providences for Sister Carol Howard here. And speaking of the Lord's providences, I guess most of you by now know the story of how she came into the truth. Sister Carol is Brother John Haldenwang's ex-wife. Hadn't seen him for 38 years. In the meantime, Brother John makes a consecration to the Lord. And in the meantime, Sister Carol is searching after God, if haply she may find him. And so they get into contact with each other. And in April, she started studying with the brethren over the internet study. And 6 weeks ago, made a consecration to the Lord as a result of that. And, truth stranger than fiction, they plan to get married in October. After 40 years, when they were married 40 years ago. Well, our Heavenly Father's divine providences always contain three elements. Number one, our free will. Number two, God's benevolent compassion. And number three, the assurance that nothing shall violate the divine plan of the ages in any way. Well, our free will reminds me of the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But our Heavenly Father's benevolent compassion reminds us that sometimes our Heavenly Father puts salt in the oats. Well, the most stupendous miracle, though, is the ability of our Heavenly Father through His Son to be able to allow the extreme diversity of free will of thousands of Christians over nearly 2,000 years, and He actually has latitude built into that divine plan to answer those specific prayers, thousands of them, millions of them. There's latitude built into the divine plan to allow for that. Things that are asked in harmony with His will, that is. Okay. Well, we might say sometimes, my flesh and my heart fail, yet God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26. And there was an example of something that happened last year that I could relate to you. We had some discouraging news about a year ago. And within 5 minutes, I got a phone call from a brother. And he was telling me that he had a little piece of paper in his wallet that he had folded up. And every time he was discouraged, he would take that little piece of paper out of his wallet and unfold it, and he would read it. And that would pick him right up, and he folded it and put it back in his wallet. And then, you know, some days later, when he was discouraged, he would do it again and again. And he went on to explain that this piece of paper, he says, I don't know if you gave it to me or Brother Ken Williams, but it's a poem that you wrote called Take Courage. Can you send me another copy? Well, by now I was in tears with the experience that we had just gone through and this encouragement just 5 minutes later in a phone call. The very encouragement that helped this brother so many times had now come full circle, just like Sister Carol coming full circle and bumping into Brother John again. It said, come around to encourage even me. After I got off the phone with my dear brother, Ed Pascal, I put my head down on my desk and cried as I recited this poem from memory. And I hope it's an encouragement to you, Sister Carol. Have you ever been down as you run for your crown and wonder if you'll reach that day? Felt discouraged and guilty or terribly sad and thought, oh, well, what's the use anyway? Well, take courage. You're His brother, sister, and mother. Our Lord Jesus will give you your fill of our Father's great promises, specially made to ensure you a place, if you will. Are you willing to follow in dear Jesus' steps through the sacrifice, suffering, and pain? When you get there, I'm sure you'll rejoice and announce, I would gladly do it again. As we look at our brethren from those olden times that were tortured and killed, sawn asunder, I ask, how could I cry at my own little trials? And then I quietly thank Him and wonder. Though the darkness at times hides the way that I take, just my next temporal step He discloses. But abundant supplies of His truth He makes known, type to antitype, He gladly transposes. So dear brother and sister, press on with great joy. We have guardian angels here near us, and a heavenly finish line with our loving Lord, and our friends there awaiting to cheer us. Well, this is, after all, a baptismal discourse, and we should mention a few things about baptism. And there are a number of baptisms referred to in the Scriptures. For example, John the Baptist's baptism for repentance of sins committed knowingly against the Mosaic Law. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is different from the baptism into Christ's death, as different as death is from the Holy Spirit. Those are two different things. There's the baptism of fire, the destruction of the Jewish polity at the first advent. But we'll talk about the one and only, or the real baptism, as it is called, the baptism into Christ's death. And please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. And we read, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" This is Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his," what? "His death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." And Colossians 3:3, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Ye are dead. Isn't that interesting? The instance of this burial of our, or immersion of our wills into the will of Christ, is followed by our begetting to a newness of life, a new nature. "Well, then ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you." Romans 8:9. The language of our heart should be, as was prophetically spoken of Jesus, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." Well, 3.5 years after Jesus' water immersion at Jordan, he said, now imagine this, 3.5 years after he was immersed, like you'll be immersed today, he says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished?" Luke 12:50. This proves conclusively that Jesus did not consider his water immersion to be the real baptism. The real baptism was the death baptism as man's redemption price or sin offering, dying daily, and it was not fulfilled until he died on the cross. Sixth volume, page 438. Another proof that water immersion is not the real baptism is found in Mark 10:38. "Can ye be baptized with the baptism I am being baptized with?" Well, here Jesus speaks of a process of his true baptism into death, which process lasted for 3.5 years for him, and from his spirit begettal at Jordan until his death at Calvary. Well, we participate with Jesus in his sacrificial death, dying daily, laying down our will to do his will unto death. And we can only do this because we have been justified from death in Adam to life in Christ, justified by faith in the precious blood of the ransom sacrifice. The very object of our justification from Adamic death is that we may be baptized into Christ's death. But these two deaths are very, very different. Adamic death and being baptized into Christ's death, very different. "If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him," 2 Timothy 2:12. "If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him," Romans 6:8. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ if so be that we suffer with him, if we experience death baptism with him as his body members, that we may be also glorified together, Romans 8:17, 6 volume 4:39. 6 volume 4:44, "It is not our justification that constitutes us new creatures, members of the body of Christ, but our baptism into death with him." As the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 12:12 and 13, "As the body is one and hath many members, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, and have been made, all made to drink, into the one Spirit." We must all die like one of the princes, Prince Adam or Prince Jesus, yeah, by being baptized into Christ's death. We will be dying daily as he was unto death, our own death, just as he died. Now you may say, well, brother, firstly, how do you know that we shall obtain a heavenly reward? And secondly, how may we do so? Well, please turn with me to 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those through who through the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his exceeding great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature." Notice the divine nature is the heavenly reward. And the apostle tells us we obtain the heavenly reward by the exceeding great and precious promises. Well, we read an exceeding great and precious promise every day and heartily recommend it to survive. fact, we have it on the computer. I can't start my business day without the morning resolve, the original morning resolve, the vow, we do the Thursday text. We have on a little card that Brother Bill Davis made for us that we prop up on our light. Then the daily manna and exceeding great and precious promise and a couple of prayers every morning. Just can't even start the day without it. That's our heavenly manna. Well, you might ask, well, why do we recommend it to survive? It's because discouragement is Satan's greatest tool. He will use it over and over and over on you. In fact, 1 Peter 5:8 cautions us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan will use every trick, technique, and tactic at his disposal to keep you from succeeding, because every saint beyond the veil is another nail in his coffin, so to speak. He has some believing that he is powerless to tempt, annoy, and buffet us any longer. Has anyone ever felt guilty because they weren't fulfilling their consecration vows perfectly or as well as they thought they should? I have. Where do you think that guilt comes from? From the great accuser, perhaps? Discouragement is Satan's greatest tool. He will attempt to use it over and over on us. But knowing his tactics in advance, we will be forewarned and forearmed. Yes, we'll recognize their use. Have we ever felt unworthy of such a high reward at times? Felt like we were no longer of the little flock? Felt like, what's the use anyway? I'm already at second death anyway. Well, dear friends, Pastor Russell has given us scriptural proof that those of such a repentant attitude are not of the second death class. Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. So if you're repentant, if you're sorry for the sins that you've committed, it's impossible for that to be a condition that would lead towards second death. The real danger is for those that are so blinded by pride that they think they haven't done anything wrong and therefore aren't repentant and fail to keep their robes unspotted and unwrinkled. But if you're still worried and upset, though, remember our Lord's words to the disciples in Luke 10, 38 and 40-42. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better. And what did she choose? She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to him. Perfect peace have they whose mind is set on thee. Of the apostles' struggle with sin, we read in Romans chapter 7. We know that the law is spiritual. We were just talking about the law yesterday. But I am carnal, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. It's perfect. As it is no longer I myself who do it. But it is sin living in me that does it. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. But it is no longer I who do it. It is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the flesh a slave to the law of sin. In addition to guilt and discouragement, Satan will use and is the master of lies, the father of deception. But great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing can make them stumble. Another caution is for us to take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. That's one of Brother Ken Williams' favorite scriptures. Where words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holdeth his tongue is wise. I love that. It's Proverbs 10:19. Where words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holdeth his tongue is wise. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Another caution is that no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, dear friends, never give up. Never even entertain the idea of giving up. As the apostle expressed it, let us not be weary in well-doing. And as our Lord Jesus expressed it, always pray and not give up. For our struggle is not merely against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual forces of evil in high places. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Dear friends, go into battle expecting to win, not of our own strength, but by God's grace, and determined not to lose. You can accomplish your goal if you maintain that single-mindedness of purpose of our brother, the Apostle Paul, this one thing I do. Or as Jesus said, on the third day, I will reach my goal. Well, in the process of making a consecration, Sister Carol Howard here no doubt came to the same conclusion that many of us come to, which is, I will be unable to do this by myself. And this is a correct thought, but then we realize we won't be alone. Our Heavenly Father is with us. Our Lord Jesus is with us. We have the privilege of prayer both with our Heavenly Father and with our elder brother, the risen Lord. And we have the fellowship of the brethren and the exceeding great and precious promises to help us in the narrow way. And what we'd like to do at this point is to have Sister Carol come up here. We have some questions we'd like to ask her. Okay. Have you repented of sin with such restitution as you are able, and are you trusting in the merit of Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins and the basis of your justification? Okay. Have you made a full consecration of yourself with all the powers that you possess, talent, money, time, influence, all to the Lord, to be used faithfully in his service, even unto death? Okay. On the basis of these confessions, we acknowledge you as a member of the household of faith and give you, as such, the right hand of fellowship, not in the name of any sect or party or creed, but in the name of the Redeemer, our glorified Lord and his faithful followers. And hold on a second, I have something for you here. Okay. This is a great and precious promises. Here's a little note. Okay. Okay, you can sit up now. And we'll leave you with these exceeding great and precious promises. All things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. And nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can walk right out of his hand, but nothing can pluck us out of the Father's hand. If in anything ye think differently, even this God will reveal unto you. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are but dust. Therefore come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need and say, my help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Yes, indeed, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And that's from Exodus 14:14 in the NIV. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Be still and know that I am God. As far as the east is from the west, I have put thy sins away from thee. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And as our Lord Jesus said to us, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. As the Father hast loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Well, we began with my pledge to our Heavenly Father and will end with his pledge of Hebrews 13:5, the Amplified Version, to us, and especially to Sister Carol today. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. assuredly not. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Perry, for the words of encouragement, and what a special time immersion is that we can each, I'm sure each one's mind is going back to their own. What a special time today is. Brother Perry has chosen hymn number 363 to close. It's 356 in the new big blue hymnals. And after Brother Perry closes in prayer, we'll proceed out to the poolside. And Brother Jim, I understand, is going to lead us in some hymns out there. Number 363.
Dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name and the name of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we all reconsecrate our little all to thee this day as we witness our sister Carol symbolize the consecration she made to you 6 weeks ago. And we pray for claiming thy precious promises that you would never leave us nor forsake us, or her either. And we pray for help, and we pray thy blessing on thy Israel everywhere, each according to their special needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't forget to take a hymn book out there with you, brethren. And we'll meet back in here at 10:30 after the fellowship time.